Well, we finally made it. We are 5 days out from WrestleMania in Las Vegas, WrestleMania 41. A lot's been made about this road to WrestleMania and the build for the show this year and how it just hasn't felt like WrestleMania. I'm in the same camp, but finally here. And we had one last Monday Night Raw to go to really solidify the build to the key matches on Raw, which is what they tried to do here tonight. There was really nothing left to do other than just solidify the key matches that are coming up on the show this weekend. And they did have in the main event segment tonight, closing the show, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk, who are, of course, main eventing night one this Saturday. They were in the ring together. Paul Heyman was there. He was waiting the entire night for Roman Reigns to arrive. And finally he does. And Roman wanted to know why his wise men would betray him. And then Seth Rollins comes out, and then CM Punk comes out, and we had back and forth, Roman attacking Punk, Punk attacking Roman attacking Seth. But the closing scene was Seth Rollins, as last week, as we saw last week on the show, Paul Heyman cowering in the corner, and Seth Rollins is the last man standing as we head into WrestleMania this weekend. All of a sudden, I'm not feeling as confident in my prediction. I'm not jumping ship. I'm sticking with my pick. I'm sticking with Seth Rollins to win this match on Saturday. I don't feel as good about my pick as I did even a week ago. But that's 2 weeks in a row now that Rollins has been the last man standing in these segments. And the thing is, here's the thing with this match, okay? When you look at the lineup for WrestleMania Night 1, there's no doubt that this match should be the main event of the show. Three of the biggest stars in the company, you got Roman Reigns and CM Punk in the ring at the same time. You got Rollins in there too, but really, Roman and Punk is the attraction here. And I feel like a lot of people would agree that the match really that people want to see is Roman Reigns against CM Punk, not with Seth Rollins involved. But of course, he's been, you know, wound into this story, so you knew he was going to be a part of this. But there's nothing on the line. And some people have complained about that, and I thought maybe they would add some kind of stipulation that ties the world championship into it, or a future championship match, because all three of these men have talked about wanting to be the champion. Roman Reigns has talked about wanting to get back his WWE title. CM Punk came back to the company and wanted to not only headline WrestleMania, but to win the championship. Seth Rollins, he wants to get the championship back. Everything is centered around, quote-unquote, the title, okay, whichever title you want to choose from. And I thought maybe they would add a stipulation that somehow tied that into things, and they haven't done that. Instead, the story has revolved around one man, and that is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is the tie that binds here. Roman wants to know why his wise man has turned on him. Punk cashed in his favor so that Paul Heyman can be in his corner in his very first WrestleMania main event. And now you have Seth Rollins on the show last week telling Heyman, now you owe me a favor. And then tonight, the parting scene on the show was Heyman cowering in the corner as Rollins just eyeballed him. Everything revolves around Paul Heyman in this match, but they had Seth Rollins come out tonight and say, this is the most important triple threat match in WrestleMania history. This is the most important triple threat match in WWE history. This is the most important triple threat match in the history of our industry, is what Seth Rollins actually said. Words that came out of his mouth in this closing segment tonight. And I'm sorry. I mean, it's I know what they're going for here. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So instead of actually having something tangible on the line, now there's this nebulous idea that the soul of this company, the soul of this industry, effectively, is on the line in this match, because if Roman wins, he's a part-time guy. He's not in the trenches. He's not working the live events. He's not, I mean, they really don't have live events anymore, but he's not in the trenches the way that Rollins is. And if CM Punk wins, well, we all know Rollins doesn't think much of CM Punk. He's going to take his ball and go home like he did for 10 years. You need somebody like Seth Rollins to win this match and to guide this company, the guy who's going to be there when you need him, the guy who is best for business. That was the idea he was trying to communicate. Nobody honestly believes that this is going to be the most important triple threat match in the history of this company, let alone the industry. They're trying to manufacture something that is just a very hard sell. because there is nothing on the line in this match. No matter how hard they want to try to magically make something up, nobody believes in it. It's bullshit. It's laughable. They're trying, but I'm sorry, for me, that doesn't work. This match is going to be carried by the star power in the match. I think, given the talent in the match, it should be a very good match. I mean, you never know with these triple threats, you know, what the chemistry is going to be like. We've seen some really good triple threat matches before, and I'm hoping that this will end up in that category among those triple threats. But I just sat here and I was laughing as I listened to Rollins trying to explain to all of us why we should look at this match as such an important match. And I'm like, brother, it's not working. It's just not working. But we had promos on this show tonight for the World Heavyweight Championship match, which is coming up on WrestleMania Saturday, which is going to have Gunther defending against Jey Uso. We had Gunther come out at the very beginning of the show. He was all full of fire. He was pissed off. He was mad. We had Jey Uso come out later in the show to cut a promo, which honestly was not very good at all. But that was pretty much the final sell that we had for the World Heavyweight Championship match. It peaked 2 weeks ago. The one thing that they could do to try to drum up some interest in this match, they did that one thing. It was very well done. It was the best part of the build to this match at WrestleMania, which was Gunther destroying Jimmy Uso and Jimmy bleeding all over the place and Jay, you know, tied to the ropes and unable to help his brother. It was a very effective segment. And then last week, we got a more serious side of Jey Uso when they cut promos on each other. This week, it was not serious Jey Uso. The idea is that Gunther has been gotten to. And so Jey came out tonight and was basically like, "You mad, bro? Are you mad?" It really wasn't much of a segment at all. I thought Gunther's segment was very effective. Jey Uso's not so much. And, you know, look, we had a couple of solid matches on the show. On the whole, this was not a very interesting show. This was actually a pretty dull show overall until the final segment. The final segment was interesting. I thought it was well done, even if the idea that Rollins was trying to pass off was just laughable. You know, the way I look at it is this. If your mind was pretty much made up, and I think at this point most people's minds were already made up as far as how they feel about this road to WrestleMania this year, how you feel about WrestleMania this weekend, then this show did not do anything to change your mind one way or the other. If you were excited for WrestleMania, then coming out of the show, you're still excited for WrestleMania. If you came into the show and you were not excited for WrestleMania, I don't see how this show did anything to change your mind and all of a sudden get you pumped up for a show that you weren't already excited for coming into tonight. I don't think it made a difference one way or the other. You know, I said this on the Sound Of yesterday. This WrestleMania season has been lacking. It's been missing that spark. There are things on these shows this weekend that I am looking forward to. There's other matches that I wish I was more excited for, and I'm really not. John Cena not being around very often, and when he was around, frankly, except for that one segment, not really doing a whole hell of a lot or saying a whole hell of a lot, that hasn't helped. It hasn't helped. I'm hoping for a great WrestleMania. I still think the show will deliver the goods. But the build to this year's show, while this show this weekend may deliver the goods, the build has not, unfortunately, at least not for me. No Cody Rhodes on the show tonight. No John Cena. Wasn't expecting them. They're both advertised, or at least Cena is. I'm sure Cody will be there, but Cena is advertised for SmackDown this Friday. Also, no Rhea Ripley, no Bianca Belair, no Io Sky live on the show tonight. Instead, they opted to have three separate video packages with comments from each woman that they spread out throughout the entire show, which I thought was fine. You know, again, what are you going to do at this point? It feels like everything has been done. What are you going to do? You going to have a contract signing? We've seen all three women in the ring together now multiple times. The contract has already been signed, so you can't even do that. We've already had a contract signing. So, you know, they had these promos. I thought they were effective. That actually is a match that I am looking forward to, given the talent involved. I think that's going to be a banger match. But as for the go-home episode, on the whole, nothing terribly exciting. But we're going to talk about it, because this is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday. It is the Monday before WrestleMania. It is April 14th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Like and subscribe. Thank you for joining me here on a Monday night. Just to let you guys know, if you missed it, I did a WrestleMania predictions special and did that as part of Sound Off 909 this weekend. It is up on the YouTube channel right now. Does John Cena win number 17? I talked about that. I talked about every single match and still potential matches because there's one match missing on the WrestleMania card this weekend. Go check that out when you're done here. It's all up there for you, almost 40 minutes. Thank you for the feedback to it thus far. I appreciate it. So let's talk about this Raw show tonight, shall we? Let's get into this. The show opened with a very pissed off World Heavyweight Champion Gunther walking to the ring, power walking to the ring, which caught Michael Cole off guard because he was scheduled to do an in-ring interview with Gunther tonight, but not until later in the show. So he was wondering, why is he coming out here now? Gunther gets into the ring. He waves Michael Cole to come in. Cole's like, well, I guess we're doing this now. So he gets up from the announce desk and he goes into the ring. And he brings up Jey Uso being a different person last week. Gunther cut him off and he recalled Jey claiming that he wasn't afraid of him anymore. That's what Jey said last week. I'm not afraid of you anymore. So Gunther was booed. He was getting a ton of heat here. And he said that Jey is full of crap. Cole said Gunther seemed frustrated and he brought up last year's WrestleMania where he lost to Sami Zayn. The crowd started chanting yeet and Gunther pulled the microphone away. He said, screw Jey Uso, screw what he stands for, and screw everybody who stands with him. He said he's been a champion for 80% of his time in WWE, and he called himself the greatest world heavyweight champion of all time. He said that he would put down Jey for the fourth consecutive time, because remember, he's already beaten him three other times, twice last year, once back in January. So he's 3-0 on this guy. He's going to make it four. He said, I'm in control. I was in control when I beat your brother up and he was bleeding all over the place. I bathed in his blood. He said he's looking forward to calling his mutter. That's what he said. He's going to call his mutter after WrestleMania and tell her how much he enjoyed beating the living hell out of Jey and walking out of WrestleMania, the World Heavyweight Champion. And then he spiked the mic into the mat and he headed to the back. An effective promo. This was the first time in this entire build he walked out there. There was no smug smile on his face. He wasn't full of himself in the way that he usually is. He has been gotten to. And he was more pissed off and fired up than we have seen him this entire build to WrestleMania. Jey has finally broken through. He has gotten in his head. Short, sweet, to the point, but exactly what this needed. I mean, he was dead on looking right into the camera. The camera was right up in his face. And he was very angry. So I like this. Unlike what they did with Jey later, I like this. We had Bayley one-on-one with Liv Morgan. Sonny, man, you know, you're the first one. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Hello, mother. Hello, father. How many people in the chat do you think actually have heard that song before? I have. But I'm an old fart. I don't know how many people in the chat are even aware of it. Bayley against Liv Morgan. Bayley got the jobber entrance for this because Liv got an entrance. They went to commercial. They came back. Bayley was already in the ring. Bayley and Lyra Valkyrie, of course, they won the gauntlet match on SmackDown Friday night to become number one contenders for the women's tag team titles. So they're going to be challenging Liv and Raquel at WrestleMania this Sunday. Morgan tried three amigos outside the ring at one point on the floor. Bayley blocked the third one. Morgan managed to stomp Bayley's hand on the ring steps and then hit a suplex off the steps. In the ring later, Bayley hit a sunset flip buckle bomb for two. Morgan hit a code breaker on the apron, followed by a drop kick off the apron, which honestly looked like it sucked more for her than it did for Bayley. I'll tell you what, man, Liv Morgan, Liv doesn't care. She has taken some rough bumps. I mean, you saw what she was doing in the Elimination Chamber. She does not care. Morgan tried something off the ropes. Bayley caught her with a stunner on the way down, followed by a belly to Bayley. Bayley seemingly had the match won. Raquel Rodriguez reaches in, and the spot was that she's going to place Liv's foot on the bottom rope for the rope break. Referee wouldn't see it. Referee would break the count. It didn't quite go that way. Unfortunately, Liv's foot fell off the rope. They did the rope break anyway. Lyra Valkyria went after Raquel. Raquel, though, booted her. And when Raquel got up on the apron, Bayley gave her a stunner in the ropes. As the referee went to go roll Raquel out of the ring, Morgan hits a backstabber to Bayley. And then she tries for oblivion because Bayley's now over by the ropes. She goes for oblivion, doesn't see, the referee doesn't see, that Lyra outside has wrapped her arms around Bayley's torso and she's holding her. So when Liv goes for oblivion, Bayley doesn't come with her. And Liv falls down to the mat. Bayley follows up with a jackknife cover and she gets the win. The rope break spot got messed up, and the crowd was quiet for a lot of this. But these women here, I thought they had a good one. I enjoyed this. Liv in particular, to take nothing away from Bayley, but Liv in particular, I think, have been having a great year so far. And she was having a great year last year. Last year was like the year of her career. And I think I had her as the MVP in the women's division in WWE last year. But so far this year, she's been the MVP as well. And I go back to the Elimination Chamber. She didn't win. She came runner-up, but she had a great performance in the Elimination Chamber. You know, she continues to really make the most of what they give her. And I thought this was a good match. Bayley winning makes sense because I think Liv and Raquel are winning on Sunday. So Bayley getting the win here didn't surprise me. Rey Mysterio. This was a prelude to his match with El Grande Americano this weekend. Rey Mysterio tonight went one-on-one with Julius Creed of American Made. There was a referee distraction pretty early in this match that led to Chad Gable dropping Rey on the top rope. The LWO, they returned the favor by crotching Julius, right? Because all the group members, gang members, whatever, all the American-made gang members here, they were all on the outside of the ring. So the referee sees what's going on here. The referee ejects everybody and sends everybody to the back. Rey sent Julius out of the ring with a Hurricane Rana. Mysterio went for a sliding splash. And Julius caught him, kind of, on the way down. I think what happened here, it looked like he was trying to catch him into a DDT on the way down. And it got botched up a little bit. So they're kind of laying there now, and it seemed to be like they were trying to figure out on the fly, okay, what do we do? Right? We were supposed to do this. It didn't go well, so What's the next spot, or what do we do now? And so Julius picks him up in a vertical suplex position, and he is walking with him. And he proceeds to walk up the ring steps onto the apron, holding Rey up. Rey slips out. Julius goes for a charge. Rey gets out of the way, and Julius ends up posting himself shoulder first. So it all worked out. Match goes on for a little while longer. Here comes El Grande Americano. Now, we have not seen him and Chad Gable in the same place at the same time since week one. If you remember, I think they were at Madison Square Garden for that show. And he had made the appearance as El Grande Americano. Later on that night, Kathy Kelly was interviewing Gable in the back, accusing him of being Americano, and Gable denied it. But then in the background, you saw the cops or the security guys, whoever it was, escorting somebody out of the building dressed up as El Grande Americano. That's the only time that we've seen these two men in the same place at the same time. So Gable had been ejected earlier in the match. He's not around, but here comes El Grande Americano. And he's out there. He jumps up on the apron. Rey tried to rip his mask off. So Julius cradled Rey from behind, only got a two count. Rey shoved Julius into Americano, which knocked him off the apron to the floor. Rey followed with a 619. He got the springboard splash, and he picked up the win. Now, they showed this on the replay. We didn't get to see this initially. But while he was laying on the floor outside, El Grande Americano, he takes the little steel plate that he had last week that he kind of shoved underneath his mask, and he does it again. And he places it right in between his eyes underneath the mask. And he gets in the ring. He's got the loaded mask. And he hits Rey with a running headbutt. LWO comes out. They try to make the save. Americano lays them all out with the loaded mask. And then he hits the diving headbutt off the top. And he stands tall. Let me just say that Julius was very impressive here. He usually is very impressive when we see him out there anyway. All the power spots that he does, the suplexes, the kip up into the suplex and the kip up. We've seen him do a lot of stuff like that. He was very impressive here. We knew Ray was getting the win. This was a momentum win for him heading into WrestleMania. Julius Creed does not have a WrestleMania match. Okay, Rey Mysterio does. But I'll tell you what, you know, El Grande Americano, he has been very impressive since he debuted. I don't know his history. I don't know his backstory outside of the video package and what the announcers have told me. Outside of that, I know very little about this guy. But I think he's been very impressive so far. I look forward to seeing more of him. I'm surprised Tony Khan did not make an offer for him. I actually think he would thrive in New Japan. So I don't know what kind of deal he signed with WWE in terms of length or anything like that. But I've been very impressed by what I've seen so far. We had AJ Styles. One-on-one with Karrion Kross. When was the last time that Karrion Kross had a singles match on Raw? I was racking my brain trying to figure it out. I don't know. When he was doing the Final Testament stuff, a lot of it was, you know, maybe eight-man tags, you know, like against the Wyatt Six. I don't know. Prior to tonight, I have no idea. Yes, Tony fumbled. That's right, Ava. Ava in the chat says Tony fumbled. Hey, his loss is WWE's gain. I don't know what to say. I'm surprised Tony didn't throw a bunch of money at him. Put him on Ring of Honor. But we had AJ Styles against Karrion Kross, who has his old entrance back. Screen goes black and white. The old music from NXT, Scarlett leading the way. Love that entrance. That entrance is awesome. Now that he's back on his own, he's got his old entrance back. It's just too bad it aired during the commercial break. So, yeah, I'm using my ExpressVPN, so I got to see it. But if you're not using a VPN, or maybe depending on where you live, you probably got commercials. So when they came back from the commercial break, you missed the entire thing. Otherwise, though, you got to see the entire entrance. Michael Cole pointed out, right as the match was getting underway, he pointed out the significance of the tights that Karrion was wearing, because they look very similar to the kind of tights that AJ was wearing. And Cole said that Kross told him that the same person who designs AJ's tights is the one that he went to design his tights. Even the way he's been wearing his hair over the last several weeks, right? It's been straightened out. He's almost been... It's like he's the thing, and he's trying to, he's like, you know, like a shapeshifter, and he's trying to take the form of AJ Styles here. Now he's dressing up like him. Kross started the match by telling AJ, "I really am trying to help you." Then he gave AJ a shove, which got things going. A few minutes in, Kross ran Styles into the timekeeper's barricade. Then he sent him flying over the barricade. Late in the match, Kross dropped to the mat and he sold an ankle injury. Referee went over to check on him, Scarlett reaching into the ring, checking on him, making sure he's okay. As Styles was talking with the referee, Kross got up and he punched Styles in the face. This man was mocking AJ's ankle injury. Remember when he broke his ankle? Was that last year or the year before? I can't remember. I'm not talking about the foot injury. I'm talking about the ankle. He broke his ankle. And he missed a WrestleMania. I want to say it was 2 years ago. He missed a WrestleMania. So I think that's what he was doing here. He was mocking that injury. Styles ended up on the apron. He was setting up for the phenomenal forearm. And the announcers did not bring attention to this. They said nothing about this on commentary, but I picked up on it. Kross does a lot of little things that some people pick up on, some people may not pick up on, like in promos and stuff. But here, as Kross was getting back to his feet and AJ was on the apron and he was, you know, readying for the forearm, Kross has his back turned to AJ and he flashes a smile like he knows what's coming. And then he places his hands behind his back. So he's totally defenseless. And he turns around and he just stands there as AJ comes flying in with the phenomenal forearm and he nails it. It's like he accepted his fate. It's like, okay, This is the side of AJ Styles I've been trying to unlock, right? I've done my job. And he just sort of surrendered himself to the inevitable. And AJ wiped him out with the forearm and he got the pin. So again, they didn't really focus on that, but it was something that that I noticed and that's what I got out of it. So like the last match, I mean, no doubt as to who was going over here. This was just to get AJ ready and all warmed up for WrestleMania. It's possible we may not see Karrion Kross again for months. Yeah, this could be his one appearance for the year at this point. I mean, if you look at his track record in this company and how they've used him and or not used him, I have very little faith. I'd like to be more optimistic for the guy because, you know, I just hope he can get something going. He has put a lot of effort. If you've been paying attention to any of the social media stuff he's done on his own, like this is not WWE stuff that they're producing for him. This is him going out on his own and trying to supplement whatever he may be doing on TV. And he doesn't get to do a lot on TV, but whatever he's into, whatever he's doing on television, he'll cut these promos. He'll do these little skits almost sometimes on YouTube or maybe it's other social media where he's trying to explain something or dive a little bit deeper into the character or the story. Not everybody does that. Some wrestlers do, but not a lot of people do that. And I think that that's really where he shines. The Karrion Kross that we get to see on TV, very little television time. We get to see snippets, little backstage segments that maybe are 30 seconds or a minute. So I think the social stuff is important when, you know, he's able to do this stuff. He'll do a 3 or 4 minute video and put context to certain things that maybe aren't always so clear on TV. He really tries to put the effort in. I'd like to see him get a proper push on his own. Doesn't have to be a faction, Final Testament, like just him and Scarlett, and get a real, you know, push and see where he can go with it. The crowd really doesn't react when he's out there. But I mean, what do you expect? The guy is not pushed in any meaningful way. The fans have been conditioned to look at him in the position that he's in, which is not a person that really is treated as an important figure on the show. So it takes time. You know, he needs to be featured consistently on the show. They need to flesh out his character more on the show and then see what happens. He'll either get over or he won't. But I still feel like he just hasn't had the opportunity to do on television what I have seen him do on social media. And that's fucked. For as long as he's been there for, that's pretty fucked. So I hope he gets the chance. I don't know where it goes. I don't know if it works, if it doesn't work. The effort is there. I hope he has the chance to show more of it. Logan Paul walked out, though. When this was over, Logan Paul walked out with a mic. He asked the fans, what was up with all the hostility? Because they didn't like seeing him. Claimed that he was just there to congratulate AJ. He said that the Sacramento fans weren't cool enough to live in Los Angeles, and they weren't smart enough to live in San Francisco. He asked AJ if he wanted to show the fans why their match would make money. He told Styles to enjoy this piece of cinema. And he pitched it to a video package all about himself. So AJ said it was a cute little video, and then he invited Logan to start WrestleMania early by getting into the ring with him. Kross is still in the ring. Kross goes to attack AJ, who caught him with a punch. Logan gets into the ring, and Styles caught him with a punch. Styles fought off Kross, put him down with a Scorpion Death Drop, but then he turned around into a knockout punch from Logan Paul, who followed up with his pulverizer finish. And I've said it's a good-looking finish. It's a cool move. So he hit him with that, laid him out. Again, pretty straightforward stuff. The build to this match in general has been very basic. Very basic. Very generic. Not a whole lot to it. This is one of those matches where it's not about the build. Like, you just hope that you get a really good match out of it. AJ's a lot older now. Some of his WrestleMania matches have ended up being very disappointing. His best WrestleMania match may well have been with fucking Shane McMahon. What was that, 8 years ago? I remember his match with Nakamura at 34 was very underwhelming. His match with Randy Orton, I never even saw the entire thing. I had a light shining in my face the entire time. The Boneyard match would be his best match, but I'm saying like in ring. If you want to include the cinematic, the Boneyard match, sure. The Boneyard match was the best thing that he's done. But he had the match with Edge. I don't remember really liking that much. What was it, LA Knight last year? You know, for someone the caliber of AJ Styles, and we've seen some of the great matches he's had, especially with John Cena. him going in there and having a really great match would be nice, because he just hasn't had that many of them at WrestleMania. And Styles is fucking awesome. But I feel like his WrestleMania resume, it's kind of like John Cena. I've talked about John Cena recently. As long as he's been around for, and for as many great matches as John Cena has been a part of in his career, none of his greatest matches have taken place at WrestleMania. Unless you just want to count the, how big the match was with him and Rock that first time, because it was like the clash of two generations. I wouldn't call that a great match. It was fine. It was obviously a big match. But like Cena's matches with Edge, CM Punk, AJ Styles, those weren't WrestleMania matches. You know, if I had to make a list of the top 5 or 10 John Cena matches, I don't know that any of his WrestleMania matches, frankly, would end up on that list. AJ kind of falls victim to the same thing. So I would like to see him go out there and tear it up with Logan Paul. And Logan's a great, performer. He's had some great matches. You never know how two people are going to gel together. But this is one of those matches where it's like, let's just wait for Mania. Hopefully they'll go out there and just have a great match. There was nothing in the buildup that I think stands out to me as, wow, we're really going to look back on the road to WrestleMania and all that stuff that AJ and Logan Paul did. Like, no. No, there was nothing like that. At this point, I'm just hoping they go out there and have a great match. Speaking of people who are hoping that they are able to go out and have a great match, Jey Uso. A lot has been said about Jey Uso, whether he belongs in this spot. Is he a main event level performer at WrestleMania? Can he go out there and have a great match, especially after that terrible match he had last year? Jey Uso is wearing all black. He's got white sneakers, but he's wearing all black. And he enters through the crowd. He gets a huge reaction. Crowd's chanting one more time after he... The music's been playing at this point for 5 minutes. He's standing on top of the announce desk, and he says one more time, and they play the music again. The entire time, from the moment he walked out until the moment that he spoke and said his first words, it had to be anywhere from 6 to 8 minutes. That entire 6 to 8 minute period, Michael Cole is standing there at ringside. He has not stopped moving. He has not stopped yeeting the entire time. And he's kind of like going like, he looks like a fucking bushwhacker out there. He's like standing going like this. I don't know if he's a bushwhacker. I don't know if there's like a fire and he's trying to fan the flames. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe, but like 8 minutes, he's going to give himself a heart attack. He's not that young anymore. So finally, all the yeeting is done. It's time for talking. Jey says people were wondering where his mind was at. They wondered if he was crashing out. He said he was crashing out, but he was locked in. I should point out that he paused after every word, which I fucking hate. It's just, he paused to let the crowd go yeet after every word. So we're back to this shit again. Very annoying. He said listening to Gunther made him realize that Gunther was afraid. Afraid that Jey would whip his ass in front of 60,000 people for the World Heavyweight Championship. So now we know the number they're going to be citing this weekend. Because last I saw, they had around 50,000 for each night. So they're already claiming 60. So we should start taking bets on what we think the announced attendance is going to be for each night. I'm going to say, let's see, if I had to make a prediction. I'm going to say 62,000 for night one. And they'll claim somewhere around 65,000 for night two. That's my prediction. But he said there's going to be 60,000 people cheering for him as he wins the World Heavyweight Championship. He told Gunther he would get him on Saturday. And then they played his music, and that was the end of that. That was it. So, of course, the live crowd enjoyed it because they liked Jey. And they wanted to be able to chant yeet. So they got to do that, right? And all the little kids, they loved Jey. So the live crowd enjoyed it, but this wasn't much of a segment. Gunther had his promo at the beginning of the show, which was very effective, I think, and I thought was very good. So, of course, we had to hear something from Jey. You can't let Gunther speak and then Jey says nothing. So we had to hear from him. But as far as what we got, we didn't get anything here. We didn't get much of anything, but at least he got to show his face. I don't really have anything else to say about this segment. It was what it was. Stefan says 71,653. I don't think they're going to go that high. Even I don't think they're going to go that high. Retro says 59,000 for both nights. Okay. We'll see. In the back, the Intercontinental Champion Bron Breakker was interviewed by Kathy Kelly. Breakker said that his title match at WrestleMania would be the biggest of his career, which is true. Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and Carlito, they attacked him. They ran him into one of the equipment cases. Breakker was on the ground. He was selling his shoulder. As they cut away for the next match, he would soon be selling a different body part, and I'm a little worried, which we'll get to that. But the next match was Finn Balor one-on-one against Penta. This was their first singles match together. Penta, by the way, I just have to say, you know, Penta comes out for his entrance and, you know, the pyro and the lighting and the little dance he does as he comes down to the ring. The guy's, he's just fucking cool. You want to know why Penta's so over and why he gets a great reaction when he comes out? Because he's fucking cool. That's why. So I've been very happy for him. Because I know he waited a long time for this opportunity. And so to see him doing well, now his brother is over on SmackDown. I mean, he only just debuted. He's had two matches. He seems to be doing well so far on SmackDown, but I don't know, man. He doesn't have the cool factor that Penta has. So Penta knocked Balor off the apron during his entrance. The match hadn't even started yet. He knocked him off the apron. He immediately hit the ropes and did this huge flip dive out of the ring. And I'm watching this and I'm going, dude, you're 5 days out from WrestleMania, okay? I think his match might be on Sunday, so maybe 6 days. But whatever, you're 5 days out from WrestleMania, your first WrestleMania match, like, don't get hurt. He's fucking diving out of the ring. The match hasn't even started yet. So anyway, Penta was in control early. After a break, Balor hit a superplex. Penta fought back. He hit a backstabber. Penta then hit a sling blade. Balor came right back with a sling blade of his own. Penta avoided a running drop kick and hit a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. And Penta, he did the arm snap to Balor. Balor, though, countered a Penta driver attempt into a roll-up for a two-count. Penta became distracted when Carlito and Dominic Mysterio showed up at ringside. Balor used the distraction to use a schoolboy for a two. Balor followed with a drop kick. But before he could set up for the coup de grace, Bron Breakker entered. Of course, got to play his music first. And so, conveniently, Carlito is standing right by the ring in the same spot that he was in when he got speared to death on last week's show. Maybe the greatest spear of all time last week. And Bron is at the head of the aisleway. He sees him. Carlito sees him. They lock eyes, and Carlito's like, fuck this. And he immediately rolls into the ring to escape. He rolls out the other side. He dove over the announce desk. Michael Cole said, I think he may have broken my leg. He landed on my leg. So anyway, Bron gets in the ring. He attacks Balor for the DQ. Carlito and Dom, they attack Breakker. He came back and caught them both with a double spear. And then Bron tried to spear Penta. He was waiting for Penta to get back to his feet. And he comes in for a spear attempt. Penta, though, fought him off. So now, Bron Breakker is outside the ring. So is Dominic. So is Carlito. Penta hits the ropes. Actually, he runs the ropes, scales the ropes, and then does a very basic diving splash off the ropes. And it didn't look like anything out of the ordinary. He wipes out all three of them. Balor was not in the pile. I think Balor was already up the aisleway. But he wipes out all three men, and Penta rolls back into the ring, and he is the last man standing. Of the four, he is the last one standing in the ring that we see before we go into WrestleMania. Now, I mentioned Bron. It may be nothing. I hope it's nothing. But what I noticed is that when Penta came off the top rope for the dive and he wiped everybody out, they all go down. Again, it doesn't look like anything out of the ordinary. Breakker immediately clutches his left knee. And he is selling it like something happened to his knee. Which, again, is kind of weird, because why would he be selling his knee when his shoulder was attacked in the segment in the back prior to the match? If he was going to be selling any kind of an injury, it would be a shoulder injury. And nobody went after his knee here, but he's grabbing his knee, and the referee comes over to go check on him. Now, they cut away, So I couldn't see if he had to be helped to the back. I haven't seen any reports that have come out. But I noticed that and I said, uh-oh, that's not good. Less than a week out from WrestleMania, that would be terrible. If something happened to Breaker, if something happened to his knee. So could be nothing. I hope it's nothing. I haven't seen anything reported yet. Hopefully everything will be fine. But if that becomes an issue, then they got a problem. Because, of course, he is the Intercontinental Champion, and he is defending against three other men this weekend. So let us hope that Bron Breakker is okay. Let me take a quick break here to let you guys know that today's episode is sponsored by Factor. If you want to eat healthier and eat good, I don't just mean eat clean, but really enjoy your food, you can make this your best season yet with nutritious two-minute meals from Factor, the meal delivery service that you have been waiting for. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle. So with the spring weather, and summer will be here soon enough, get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. With 45 weekly menu options, you can choose gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, and premium dinners, not to mention guilt-free snacks and desserts, which is my favorite. I mean, who doesn't love dessert? It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor without all the fuss. I got my new box earlier in the week. I like the Ropa Vieja chicken thigh bowl. If it has chicken, chances are I'm going to like it. But this was really good. There was a spicy sweet potatoes and peanut sauce meal with coconut rice and roasted green beans that was also very good. But my favorite, this was my dinner on Thursday, was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. Oh my, friggin' amazing. And again, they only take minutes to make. It's not going to take you an hour before you even sit down to take your first bite. And that's good for me because I'm streaming on most nights. As you know, there's wrestling damn near every night of the week at this point. So I don't want to spend forever eating dinner before I have to work. This takes care of that for me. And it can take care of it for you too. With an exclusive offer for Sound Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off and use the code solomonster50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code solomonster50off at factormeals.com/solomonster50off for 50% off plus free shipping. In the back, we see CM Punk. He sits down next to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has been sitting in the back for the entire show because there were a few times, I think two other times during the night, they cut to him in the back. He was trying to call Roman Reigns on his phone. Nobody answered. He's sitting in the back waiting. There's no Roman Reigns. He's been waiting all night for this guy. So he's sitting there. Punk comes over. He tells Heyman that he was here to calm him down. I've never seen you so stressed in my entire life. And I want to help calm you down. He told Paul, look into my eyes. What do you see? And Heyman turns to him and says, a cult of personality? Ha ha. Ha ha. Sidro would be proud. Sidro, or that sounds like something Sidro or Duff's Vids would say. Well, as he's saying this, we see this giant SUV, this long SUV, pull up. And of course, it's Roman Reigns. Roman gets out, and as he's walking, he turns and he looks, and of course, at that moment, Punk is sitting there with his arm around Heyman. Roman looks very upset about this. He's not happy at all. Heyman turns and sees him. It's like, oh, shit. And Roman just keeps walking because he sees that there is another man with his arm around his wise man. Heyman gets up. He tries to chase after my tribal chief as Roman is walking into the arena. And that led into the closing segment of the show. We're already up to the final segment. I told you, there wasn't a whole lot that happened on this show. Whatever really went down of any significance was in this segment. We have Roman Reigns, and Paul Heyman is finally caught up to him, so he's coming out with Roman. They're making their way out to the ring. Heyman goes to hand Roman the mic. Roman completely ignores him and reaches and gets his own mic. And Heyman is left standing there with a microphone. And Roman tells Sacramento to acknowledge him. So the crowd serenaded him with chants of OTC. Reigns said the whole world can hear that the fans love and acknowledge their tribal chief. He said they would never betray their tribal chief. But not everybody is like the fans. And he said some people would betray me. And he asked the crowd, do you have any idea who that might be? So Roman turned his attention to Heyman, and he wanted to know why his wise man would betray him. And the fans chanted, you fucked up. And Roman said the wise man's a little hard of hearing, and he asked the fans, you might have to chant that a little bit louder. So Heyman went to speak, and the fans booed. They even chanted asshole at him. There was a light asshole chant. That's, don't you hate that light asshole? Well, don't you hate when that happens? So anyway, he said it was not a betrayal. He said he paid back a favor that he owed. Roman said he must be a little confused. I must be confused. The way favors work, I thought, is that you usually pay it back yourself. And it feels like the only person getting screwed in this whole favor is him. If there's one thing you know about your tribal chief, we ain't ever going to ask for a favor. We take what we want. So he doesn't owe a favor because he never asked for anyone's help. He didn't ask for anyone's help in war games. Which is true. That was something that Heyman orchestrated on his own. So he said, I never asked for anyone's help. How am I supposed to cover the tab for your dumbass favor? So they were interrupted by Seth Rollins' music. And he danced his way out to the ring wearing a black vest. I would say visionary style. Like in the current character that he's in. So he wasn't wearing a shield tactical vest. But he was nonetheless wearing a vest. And it was absolutely intentional that he was wearing a vest, especially given what was happening later on in this segment. So he asked Sacramento to give it up for their tribal chief. He says, Roman is finally putting the pieces together. But it's too little too late because he still has to end him at WrestleMania. Because it's the right thing to do. And this is where he got into the ridiculous nonsense here about this triple threat match is the biggest, most important triple threat match in the history of WrestleMania. And you could argue that this will go down as one of the biggest triple threat matches in WrestleMania history. I can't sit here and say it's the biggest. We've had triple threat matches for world championships. There's nothing on the line in this one. Is this a bigger triple threat match than Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Chris Benoit? You know, is this a bigger triple threat match than Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Batista? You might think it is because of the star power in the match, but those matches had titles on the line. The first ever women's WrestleMania main event was a triple threat match with Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey. There have been a lot of big triple threat matches in WrestleMania history. You could argue that this is one of the biggest. You can make the argument that you think it's the biggest, okay? Maybe I would go for that. But then from there he goes, this is the biggest triple threat match, the biggest, most important triple threat match in the history of the company, and it is the biggest, most important triple threat match in the history of our industry. Industry! Says it can't be Roman. And by the way, the reason that this is so important is because the winner of this match will define the future of this industry. It can't be Roman, because if this business is filled with people like him, people that don't show up except for when it's convenient, then this business dies. And it can't be CM Punk either, and Roman is starting to figure that out, because this business is filled with little CM Punks. Uh-oh. Don't tell Tony Khan. This business is filled with little CM Punks who want to pick up their ball and go home and leech off the success of others. If that happens, he says, this business dies. We get CM Punk chants from the crowd. And Seth says, he asked them, he goes, you want this business to die, do you? Well, I don't, because if this business is filled with people like him, who will sacrifice physical and mental well-being to always do what's best for business, then the business not only lives, it thrives. There can be only one, and it's got, what is he, fucking Highlander? It goes, there can be only one, and it has to be him. And as for that one little piece that Roman quite hasn't figured out yet, favors don't happen by chance. He says favors are a choice. He chose not to put Paul Heyman in the hospital last week, and now Paul Heyman can choose whether he wants to pay that debt to Rollins. Because remember last week, Rollins said, now you owe me a favor. He says Heyman is a scumbag and he expects nothing from him. Paul Heyman is not in CM Punk's corner at WrestleMania by chance. He is in CM Punk's WrestleMania or in his corner at WrestleMania by choice. He made a choice. It's not just a betrayal, Roman. What you need to ask yourself, he's not just returning a favor, he's choosing. And you got to figure out, why is he choosing CM Punk over you? So Roman looks over and he says, wise man. Yes, my tribal chief. Goes, he's right. And Rollins is laughing. Roman says, you made your choice. And I made mine. And with that, he clotheslines Rollins. He throws him out of the ring. Heyman is laughing at this. He's getting great joy out of this. And he said, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. Roman then turns around. He pie faces Heyman to the mat. He knocks him down to the mat. Heyman is nearly in tears. Now they play CM Punk's music. Punk, of course, comes running out to the ring. He and Roman start slugging it out to, honestly, a very tame reaction. This did not get the kind of reaction that you would hope it would get. I mean, we are 5 days out from this big main event on WrestleMania Saturday. CM Punk, one of the biggest names in the company and industry, running down to the ring, going one-on-one, slugging it out with Roman Reigns. And it got like a tepid reaction, or at least that's how it came across on TV. Nothing overwhelming. That was very noticeable to me. So he clotheslines Roman out of the ring, and Punk goes over to check on Heyman, who's sitting down in the corner. But Roman gets back in the ring, and when Punk turns around, he gets speared. Then he unloads on him a little bit more. Rollins, meanwhile, returns to the ring, and he hits Roman in the back with a chair. And this brought back horrible memories for me. I was very upset when they broke up the Shield. Not that, like, as a mark, like, no, you break up the Shield. Just because I thought, man, there's still juice left to this. You're killing it too soon. Of course, it all worked out well for Rollins that year. But he takes the chair. It was just like 11 years ago. And he puts the chair in Roman's back. And remember, I mentioned he came out wearing a vest. It wasn't a tactical vest. But he was nonetheless wearing a black vest, just like the Shield. They used to wear vests. That was not by accident. That was done by design. It was done to evoke that image, that imagery from over a decade ago. Roman still hasn't learned his lesson. He turned his back on this man again. And so he had a chair put right in his back. So he delivers a stomp. At that point, Rollins does, to CM Punk after that little callback. And then he delivered a stomp to Roman Reigns. So both of them are down and they are out. Heyman is left sitting in the corner. His eyes are wide. His hands are over his mouth. He's got this look of just sheer terror on his face. Seth Rollins, he's still got the chair in his hand. And he's just looking down at Heyman. And that is the final Raw before WrestleMania. How they went off the air. For the second week in a row, Seth Rollins stands tall. Stands tall after a segment involving Paul Heyman. So it's really Rollins and Heyman are the two, which is very interesting given the fact that there are some people who feel like they may be giving us, would it even be much of a swerve at this point if Rollins ended up going with Heyman? Like, if they actually did that, and I don't think they will, I feel like the signs have been very overt. I don't know how much of a shock it would necessarily be to some people at this point. I mean, it would be a shocking moment, but I wouldn't call it a moment that would be coming out of nowhere. Let's just put it that way. This is a match that is all about, despite whatever Seth Rollins may tell you, it's all about Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is going to be in the corner of CM Punk. Roman Reigns doesn't like this. Where will Heyman's allegiance lie at WrestleMania? And what about this favor that Seth Rollins said Heyman owes him? You owe me a favor now. You have a debt to be paid. It's all about Paul Heyman. You may as well stick a fucking pole in the ring and just put him up on the pole. Tie him to the pole. But that's what this WrestleMania main event on Saturday is all about. Rollins could go on with whatever gobbledygook he wants to go on about this being for the soul of the industry, and it's going to be a defining match. It will define the future of this industry. Nobody buys into that bullshit. They're trying to make it out to be more than it is because they have the ability, if they wanted to have something tangible on the line here, and they opted not to. Still a big match, but I do feel like there should be something on the line here, and there really isn't. But that's the story now going into this match. The story is going to have to support the match. So we're probably going to get some soap opera type drama during our WrestleMania main event here. In between all of that, hopefully we'll get a kick-ass match. But if you are somebody like me who has been thinking and predicting that Seth Rollins is going to walk away the winner on Saturday, the fact that he has been the one standing tall 2 weeks in a row probably doesn't bode too well for that prediction. I'm going to stick with it, though. I'm still going to say Rollins, he's going to eke out that win. I still feel that way. I feel a little less confident now, but I still feel that way. Now, as I said earlier, there is a segment that I did almost 40 minutes long on the podcast this weekend covering all of the matches with my predictions for WrestleMania. That is on Sound Off 909. You can check that out. I'm not going to get into the predictions now. I will run the card down, though. Just so we get this clear. So WrestleMania Saturday has 7 matches, and this is the way the card is looking. As I said, main event, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. Gunther and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. That will be taking place on WrestleMania Saturday. Victor wants to know who's getting pinned, though. CM Punk. Rollins pins Punk. So we have Gunther against Jey Uso. Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship also takes place on Saturday. I said this also on the show the other day. There's no in between here. These two are going to go out and have an excellent match, or they're going to go out there, not be quite on the same page, and it's going to be a train wreck. I find it hard to believe that these two women are going to go out there and have a train wreck. I know some of the promos have been train wrecks. I think they're going to go out there and have a very good match. And if you're somebody who does not want to see Charlotte Flair walk out with a championship, this might not be the WrestleMania for you. But I really don't think there's going to be any in between as far as how that match turns out. Jade Cargill and Naomi. That will also be on WrestleMania Saturday. The New Day challenge the War Raiders for the tag team titles. Rey Mysterio takes on El Grande Americano, and LA Knight defends the United States Championship against Jacob Fatu in Jacob's first WrestleMania. WrestleMania Sunday has 6 matches. That should end up being 7 as well. There should be 14 total. There's 6 right now because Randy Orton has no match. We still don't know who Randy Orton's opponent or opponents are going to be. I would say we'll find out on Friday. We may not. I mean, for all we know, we may have to wait until WrestleMania to find out. But Randy Orton will have a match, whether it's Nick Aldis, whether it's Solo Sikoa. Yeah, there was another idea that I floated where maybe it's a tag match. Solo and Tama Tonga against Randy and a mystery partner. If they want to debut somebody new, like an Aleister Black on that show, give them a WrestleMania debut. You could always do that. Whatever it is, though, Randy Orton, I will say this. Randy Orton's winning at WrestleMania because I think Randy Orton is challenging for the WWE title of Backlash. And if that's the case, then how can he lose? Why would you beat Randy Orton at WrestleMania if he's going to be in the main event of Backlash, title or no title? He should win. But that match should take place on Sunday. Also on that show, AJ Styles, one-on-one with Logan Paul. Liv and Raquel defend the women's tag team titles against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest in a Sin City street fight. Bron Breakker, Penta, Balor, Dominic Mysterio, Intercontinental title fatal four-way. first time, they said, the Fatal 4-Way format has ever been used to challenge for an Intercontinental Championship. We've had Intercontinental Triple Threats, but never a Fatal 4-Way for the title of WrestleMania, so that will change. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair. Speaking of Triple Threats, for the Women's World Championship, and in the main event, on the final night of WrestleMania, John Cena will challenge for number 17, one-on-one against the undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, both of whom will be on SmackDown this Friday for one last hard sell before we get into WrestleMania. And if you want to know my thoughts on who I think is walking out with the title, you got to check out the segment from this weekend. It's all there. Got the full preview for you. What did you think of Raw before WrestleMania? The final Raw poll here before Mania, 53.4% thumbs up, 29.5% thumbs in the middle, and 17% thumbs down. So that is on X. You can vote on there at Solomonster. 53% thumbs up for tonight's show, huh? Not overly enthusiastic. I thought maybe it would be even a little bit lower than that. All the Samoans are working Saturday, says Jason Mitchell. Is that true? I guess it would be true. Right? Jimmy has no match. Jay, Roman, and Jacob. You're right. But again, if they're going to do Randy and Solo, that would be Sunday, so your theory would go out the window if that happens. But yeah, as of this moment, all the Samoans are working on Saturday. Is there some sort of Samoan holiday on Sunday that I'm unaware of? All right, let's get into these super chats here. There were some big ones that came in before. Didn't WrestleMania 15 have a Fatal 4-Way for the IC title? Was it a Fatal 4-Way? I thought that was a triple threat, unless that was for the hardcore title. I don't remember now. What was the Intercontinental? Let me see. Hold on a second. Did WWE fuck up their own history again? This is the second time, by the way, because they said Roman Reigns, this will be his 11th WrestleMania main event. Let me see here. WrestleMania 15. Now you got me checking this out here. I could have sworn that's what they said, that this would be the Four Corners elimination match for the Intercontinental Championship. Road Dogg, Goldust, Ken Shamrock, and Val Venus. So what the fuck was Michael Cole saying on the show? You know, if he wasn't so busy yeeting for half the show, then maybe he would get this shit right. All right, we'll blame them. I got my information from them. They can't even get their shit straight. Is it because they called it a Four Corners match? Did they even call it a Fatal 4-Way back then? Ridiculous. All right, well, whatever. I stand corrected. Don't blame me. Blame Michael Cole. Can't even get their own history straight. The real CSO2 kicking us off. Hey, Solo, I just want to drop in here and tell you and the rest of the chat that I am celebrating my 23rd birthday. Cannot wait for WrestleMania. Well, happy birthday, Real CS, 23 years old. I hope it's a great one. May says that was a Four Corners elimination match. Yeah, but still, so it doesn't matter, though. It's a four-way match with the Intercontinental title on the line. It's still a four-way match. Are we going to really be nitpicking now and say, oh, well, you know, it was a different kind of four-way match. It was still a four-way. You got four guys in the ring wrestling for the title. That's a four-way match. Fire Panda coming in with is that 50? I think that's 50. It's Canadian 70, so what is that? Is that 50? Sound of Gamer idea. Faith the Unholy Trinity. It's a new blood game made by Erdorf, where you play as a priest who fights the armies of hell. If you take the time to exercise items and read the notes, you get a really good story. So Fire Panda linked me to a trailer for this game. Apparently it came out a few years ago. I love it because it's 8-bit. It's an 8-bit game. Like, it looks like something out of 1987. But apparently it's got really good reviews. I don't know if I'll have time to check it out anytime soon. I still have to get to 2K25. I'm a little behind, but it looks very interesting. I've never heard of it before. You don't see too many 8-bit games anymore. The Real CS says, Chad Gable needs to sue Michael Cole for defamation of character. There's proof that he is not El Grande Americano. I'm going to sue Michael Cole for giving us incorrect information on the broadcast. That's what I'm going to do. Crypto and Poker, I'm in Vegas, and Penta is on the most billboards. Of course he is, because Penta is fucking cool. No, I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that. He should get all the attention. Very marketable. The Real CS, for starters, Chad is a loser. I hate to say it, but it's true. And second, we saw El Grande Americano getting arrested while Chad was being interviewed. Yes, I pointed that out earlier. We did. Ren the Cynic. Me and my girlfriend had big smiles when we saw you post my library photo on social media. Thank you. Well, thank you for helping me get my mom's children's book in that library. It is now, the Mid-Continent Library in Kansas City, I believe. It says, and remember, everyone, be nice to your public service workers. It costs nothing to be nice. That is Jason from Kansas City. Yes, it costs nothing to be nice. It is free. A good lesson for social media. Jerome Eugenio, best storyline and match that should have been at WrestleMania. That should have been? I don't know about storyline, but in terms of matches, one of the matches that really stands out to me that should have been on the WrestleMania card in 2006, Undertaker and Kurt Angle for the World Heavyweight title. They did it at No Way Out. That really should have been the WrestleMania match. Only thing is, if they weren't going to belt The Undertaker, that could have been the end of the streak. So, that very well may be why they didn't want to do the match at WrestleMania. Because Undertaker didn't win the world title in No Way Out. But, that match was so good, it really belonged on the WrestleMania card. So, to have The Undertaker go over, even if it was brief and then he drops it, that wouldn't have been a big deal. Kurt lost the title anyway at WrestleMania. What difference does it make? But they were telling the Rey Mysterio storyline after Eddie passed away, so I guess that's why. Holiday 197. Hey Solo, I'd like to see WWE take more risks and come up with more creative storylines for the WrestleMania buildup. The Heyman story is decent, but where will Seth fit into this unless Heyman joins Seth? I mean, if Seth wins, it'll be because Roman and Punk are so consumed with each other and their relationship with Heyman, Seth kind of backdoors his way into a win. That's how it happens. If he wins, then I think that's how it happens. He outplays them. Chris O'Neill says, WrestleMania build is mid as fuck. I forgot to scroll back. Here we go. Let's see. Where are we here? Yeah. Of course. Thank you, Chris. He says he's not impressed by this WrestleMania build. Hey, we got Randy Bobandi with a $50 bomb. Salutation Solo. Just curious if you know why WWE still censors the Scratch logo, WWF logo, on TV clips or when showing old belts, they make it the WWE logo. When I can go on Peacock or the Vault channel and see the old logo with no blur. It's very inconsistent, I agree. My guess is that there is just some footage. It could be in documentaries and stuff that they use, which was blurred or had the blurs in it at one time. And they just left it in. Because I agree, they don't apply the rules in the same way. Like, some places it's blurred, some places it isn't. I can't tell you why that is outside of the fact that what you're watching, it could be that at the time it was made, the blurs were in. And they just didn't go back and take them out. That would make the most sense to me. But thank you, Randy. The Real CS says, Cross went from basically being a jobber to now all of a sudden he's being treated like a rising star. Am I the only one who finds that suspicious? A rising star? I mean, by what, the IWC or by WWE? I don't know what you mean by that. It's not a matter of rising star. It's a matter of, oh wow, they figured out we have this guy under contract. We should probably be doing something with him. And he's got the potential to be more than what he is. And so some people are hoping that he gets that chance. I don't know that it's a case where all of a sudden he's a rising star. He's still, you know, you call him a jobber. He's still basically at that level that he's been at. I think there are people, though, who would like to see them give him a shot to do more than just be a punching bag for everybody else, or just not even be featured on the show at all. I can't even call him a punching bag so much. It's not like he's just on TV doing jobs. He's not doing much of anything. Like, I'm watching him in the ring tonight against AJ Styles, and it really hits me. Like, I couldn't remember the last time I saw him on Raw or SmackDown or, you know, any of the key shows that weren't main event in a singles match. I just couldn't remember. I still can't tell you. It's been a long time. Dog Lover 2122. Hey Solo, is this the most boring road to WrestleMania of all time? There's no stakes to the triple threat, just a made-up narrative that Seth keeps pushing. I wouldn't call it the most boring of all time. It's definitely lackluster. I don't know what the most boring one of all time would be, but it's not this one. It's not this one. There have been worse. Randy Bobandy. I know it's not going to happen, but I want to see Dom pull up to a WrestleMania on a lowrider with Liv with that old Latino Heat theme. Well, they did ride the lowrider out. I think it was Bad Blood last year. They came out on stage in a lowrider. So you got half of what you were looking for. Oh boy, we've got our friend GMB. He's back. He or she is back. Bianca has been getting punked more than Io in this feud. Hell, Io has stood tall more than Bianca has. Think Bianca wins with a Naomi assist. You know, the thing that keeps me from going with Bianca is just the fact that I don't see her moving to Raw. Because if she wins the World Heavyweight title, she's got to move to Mondays. I don't see it. Duff's Vids, what do you call a duck on drugs? A quackhead. Very nice. There you are. Joseph Solo, do you think a heel Rock and Jay thing could be soon? Heel Rock and Jay? No. I don't know where you're getting that from, but no. No, I don't. Duff's Vids, Freddie Mercury, Venus Williams, and Bruno Mars walk into a bar. They didn't plan it that way. How do you come up with these? Randy Bobandy. Wait, this is the most important triple threat in WrestleMania. Kane, Big Show, and Raven says otherwise, with the most important title in the company on the line. Didn't Big Show, as he was driving the golf cart backstage, almost knock out the power to the building? How fucked would that have been? I think he almost knocked the power out during WrestleMania 17. Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been very bad. Casey is Raw. Thank you for the five. I'm currently watching the WrestleMania 9 documentary. And I stumbled across a picture of Hulk Hogan in blackface, kind of. Yeah, well, hey, part of his face was black. How you think he got that is still a matter of debate. I should have a WrestleMania 9 documentary review up on the channel. I think it's going to be a YouTube exclusive. Probably Wednesday. I'm going to try to get it recorded tomorrow, and then I'll probably post it on Wednesday. So keep your eye out for that. I did watch it. I have a lot of thoughts on it. So that'll be going up on the channel this week. Alexander says, Roman is not a babyface. He is as heel as ever. Yes, I've been saying that. I think people are, you know, I think some people know, some people still think he's a babyface. OTC. Like, people are coming around to the fact this guy's still a dick. Nothing has changed. Hey, Dark Edge, that song you hear playing right now is a great tune. It's called Keep Faith by, I think, is it Confession? No, not Confessional. Confrontational, I believe. Really good song. But Nick says, I agree with you about Bianca losing at WrestleMania because she has unfinished business on SmackDown with Jade and Naomi. Notice they keep talking about her in their promos. Yeah, I pointed that out in my SmackDown review on Friday in Naomi's promo. She said, Bianca won't even look at me. She won't even talk to me. She's still trying to be her friend. Like, that issue is still alive. Says, I think Naomi pulls a Rikishi from No Mercy 2000, but it backfires because Jade tries to stop her. Interesting. Yeah, I don't think that issue is over yet. Randall, the Sandal Vandal, will always be a sin that we never got a triple threat at Mania with Reigns, Rollins, and Moxley. Moxley, who's that? I know Dean Ambrose. I don't know who Mox is. Jeremy Rose, buy or sell Hogan WrestleMania 9 Black Eye, Macho or Jet Ski? I don't think it was either one. I can't say for sure that it was either one. But if you force me to make a choice, which story do I think is more believable? I mean, look, I hesitate to believe anything out of Hogan's mouth. Honestly, I think everything he says is a fucking lie or an exaggeration. I don't believe a word he says. But everybody who's like, oh, Macho Man did it. Honestly, it's just one of those urban legends I don't fully buy into. Not that I would find it impossible to believe, because Savage really did not like him around that time. I don't think Macho punched him in the eye. I have my reasons. I'll talk more about that when I do my review of the documentary. I have my reasons. If I had to go with one, I'll go with the jet ski story. Jeremy Rose, what percentage chance do they pivot and Gunther wins? I mean, that less than 5%. Jey Uso is winning on Saturday. Chris Mikesell, the new dad. If you were Triple H, knowing this was your class, wouldn't you want your Hall of Fame class, he's talking about, to be stacked? No disrespect to the natural disasters, but I would pick Demolition first. Well, I mean, unless there was some reason why Demolition could not do this year, I actually think the opposite. I would think that if you're Triple H and you think very highly of yourself, you don't want anyone to overshadow you. You want the Hall of Fame class to really be all about you. I don't want all these other people going into the Hall of Fame that are big stars that people want to see. I want to surround myself with mediocrity. I'm not saying that this Hall of Fame class is all mediocrity. I'm not saying Lex Luger is mediocre. I'm just saying if it were me, if I'm Triple H, I want the spotlight on me. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've never tried therapy before, it can feel like a big investment, especially with the state of things this week in the markets. All the volatility and the uncertainty out there, it's enough to cause you stress all on its own. But health is wealth, and it's important to take care of your mental health as well as your physical health. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session, and that can be real costly really quick. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. That's huge, especially when people now more than ever may be looking to save wherever they can. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury that only VIPs can afford. With online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense. Your mental health is worth it, trust me. And now it's within reach. Like I said, there's a lot going on in the world right now that may be causing you stress and giving you anxiety. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Whatever it is, therapy can help you figure out what the problem is and get to the root of it so that you can start addressing it. How to recognize it, how to cope with it, work around it, or even maybe eliminate it entirely. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it's convenient too. That's what makes it so appealing, especially if you've been on the fence about trying it. You think those 5 million people don't have busy lives like you do? They find a way to make it work, and you can too, because BetterHelp makes it easy for you with the click of a button. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time if you choose to do so. The choice is yours. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Anthony, what is your favorite WrestleMania sign? I don't know. This Vegas one is pretty cool. You know, you'll notice there was a backstage segment tonight where the New Day was interviewed, and they had this neon light up WrestleMania Vegas sign behind them. So I went on WWE Shop. I said, that's strategically placed there for a reason. They're trying to sell something. So I go on WWE Shop. They have a whole section with just WrestleMania 41 merch. And sure enough, they're selling a WrestleMania 41 neon, you know, one of those like light up tube signs. And I was like, oh. And then I looked at the price and I said, get the fuck out of here. $600. $600 for that sign. I can't justify that. Anthony says, do you miss Flop Dollar? I don't. Alex says, Brother Solo, what are your thoughts on the stand and deliver card? Any particular match that you are looking forward to? The women's main event. I don't even know when I'm going to be able to watch the show. I'm going to watch it live or not. But yeah, the women's four-way. Anthony says, where is Big Show? He's in AEW now. EJ Slemp with a $4.99. Yesterday, Rory's boyhood dream came true. With a tear in his eye, he finished his story and won the Masters. Now it's Punk's turn to achieve his dream. Thank you, EJ. I know EJ is very much looking forward to WrestleMania this weekend and hearing Pat McAfee on the call. EJ's a big Pat McAfee guy. Nick says, why is Jada Parker in that match? Well, Shawn Michaels actually explained this today, and he said the reason that there are so many multi-person matches on the stand and deliver card is because all of these people work very hard all year long. They don't always get to be on the PLEs. This is WrestleMania weekend, and he tried to get everybody he could into matches on the show. Because I think is there only one match on that card that's a singles match? I think every other match is a multi-person match. So anyway, that's why. He tried to get as many of them on there as he could. Number one, Homo Sapien. Two guys walk into a bar, the third one ducks. You know, before I even finished that, I kind of knew where it was going. You did not disappoint. Larry Jester said how little Cross is on. I was like, who's this? Anthony says, hoping the weekend will sing us Anthem at Mania. I don't think they've announced. They did announce that Travis Scott. I thought they announced Travis Scott was going to be there. I don't think they've announced any musical performances, though. And Anthony says WWE should make a championship just for New York. No, they shouldn't. Number one, Homo sapien. How do you fix a cabbage with a cabbage patch? Somehow they get worse. J.R. Vacher. When did Chad Gable's career in Push go astray? Not being named Angle's son, Jason Jordan retiring, not beating Gunther for the title, or Grande Americano? You kidding me? Grande Americano is the biggest thing to happen to his career in years. I think it went astray when he didn't beat Gunther. There was such a great story there. Underdog, you know, fights back, you know, manages to get that one more match, finally beats the guy, the unbeatable Gunther, and wins the championship. His little girl, who's crying in the front row, finally has, now she's crying tears of joy. That's where they went astray with it. There was a story to tell there, and they didn't do it. Shin Superkick Akuma. With a $10 super chat, this will be Rhea Ripley's sixth consecutive Mania in a championship match. I did not know that. Six, has she even been in six WrestleManias? That can't be true. That can't be true, because 36 was her first one. If she's been at every WrestleMania since 36, let's see, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Oh, I guess so. I guess so. So 37, she wrestled Asuka, right? I don't remember what her match was at 38. 39 was Charlotte. 40 was Becky. Who'd she wrestle at 38? I don't remember. Bron Bron. For a good guy, Roman is pretty annoying, right? Well, he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. Dom Joseph. Jay and Gunther needs to be no DQ. There needs to be bloodshed. If not, it's going to be like Randy and Triple H all over again. I think they're saving that for the Sin City Street Fight between McIntyre and Priest. I think they need that help. That hasn't really been a terribly hot feud either. Rhea was tagging with Liv at 38 for the tag team titles. The women's tag titles? Okay, that's probably why I don't remember. Crypto and Poker Solo, give me five numbers, 0 through 36. I will super chat the winnings. Five numbers, 6, 12, 19, 24, 28. There you go. Are you in Vegas? Oh, he's probably in Vegas. That's why. He's got the word poker in his name. So, I mean, of course. Daniel Malcolm, thank you for the gifted membership. We picked up a bunch of them recently, so thank you. Let's keep climbing. The gift of giving. Jeremy Rose, Rock screws Punk, and most importantly, Roman, setting up year-long Rock-Roman build for WrestleMania 42. No. You can't plan that far in advance with Rock. He's unreliable. You can't rely on that. There's no way you're going to get a commitment a year in advance for anything with The Rock at this point. You're just not. Carlos Galvan, 41 months of channel membership. Says, Gunther is such a beast, which makes me sad for what's going to happen this weekend. Also, what the fuck was Seth yapping about? I ask that question every week. Much love, Carlos. Bobby Means, what are your top five WrestleMania matches by year? by year? Oh, I don't know. You can't ask a question like that off the cuff. I could tell you what some of my favorite WrestleMania matches are. Bret and Austin, Undertaker and Shawn, Rock Hogan. I mean, there's so many of them. Savage Steamboat, Hogan Warrior, Savage Flair, Bret Piper, Bret Owen, the Ladder. I mean, there's so many of them, dude. The Mount Vernon Kid. Rollins looks like a member of a 90s backup dancer. He looks like a member of a 90s backup dancer? Or he looks like a 90s backup dancer? I think you said that wrong. Tonga Loa Superfan. When is the Def Rebel WWE contract going to end? Says the theme song is the only thing holding back Tonga Loa having a white hot return. Does he even have a song? I don't even think he has one. He used to come out to the Bloodline music or Solo's music. Tonga Loa doesn't have a song. Give me a break. Yukio Rules. Thanks for keeping me updated on most wrestling-related things. Keep up the great work. Also, still waiting for the Solo Monster You People promo. Oh, it's coming. One of these days, the You People promo will come. Rest assured. Yukio Rules, though, with the $51 super chat. You are awesome. Thank you, brother. Love it. EJ Slemp. Prior to the Orton match, when the streak was first used in storyline, would any of The Undertaker's earlier WrestleMania matches have made sense for him to lose? Prior to the Orton matches, before 2005, when did he go to 10-0? 2002, right? So in 2002, after he beat Flair, that put him at 10-0. Because, I mean, I feel like you got to at least go to 10 before you break it. So from that point on, 2003 was an absolute waste of a year for The Undertaker. 2004, he wrestled Kane. That wouldn't have made sense. So I'm going to say no. No. Before the Orton match, it would have been too early. And I don't really like any of the opponents that he had like right after he hit 10-0. You could have done Orton. You could have done Orton in 05, but I think it worked out for the better. They were able to, you know how much money they probably made on that? They were able to milk that streak as an attraction on that show for years. Years. We have got Yasui77. Kyle bought tickets for this show after the Chamber. Been less excited each week. Crowd was ready to be crazy tonight, but there wasn't anything. Well, I mean, I wasn't expecting anything too crazy on the go-home show. But it wasn't very good. The Meal Slayer says, Seth wants to do what's best for business. Could he be joining The Rock's crew? Wouldn't make sense if Cena wants to ruin wrestling, so I don't know. No, it wouldn't, would it? None of this shit makes sense. Navy 4181, your Vader review was great. Thank you. I recall he yelled and flexed at Mark Henry, who kept signing autographs and smiling at Vader and having the time of his life. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I did almost 40 minutes of the Dark Side of the Ring review on the Vader episode, Big Van Vader from last week. Got into a lot of things, including some stuff that really wasn't covered in the episode. There were a couple of people who were blown away by the fact that Vader and Will Ospreay had a match. There were some people that had no idea. I talked about that on there, how that all came about. So there's some good stuff in there. That's from the show I did on Sunday. That's yesterday. I'm going to try to get the Dark Side clip up on the YouTube channel tomorrow, but support the show. Every download counts. Every comment on Spotify counts. Go check out the audio version. There's some good stuff in there. JR with the 12. Says, I agree, but what's the difference between Gable versus Gunther and Jay? Both were or are There it goes. Both were or are super over and underdogs. Why didn't they pull the trigger with Gable back then? Stories are too similar versus Gunther. Because Jay is more over than Gable was. That's why. Jay's a bigger star than Chad Gable. He makes them more money. Comes down to just simple economics with them. They're going to go with who they feel is going to help them sell tickets, help them sell merch, move numbers. Chad Gable is not a needle mover in the way that Jey Uso has become a needle mover for this company. Some people may not want to hear that. I've said it time and time again. It's not about who the best wrestler is. If it was all about who the best wrestler is, Chad Gable would have had three or four WrestleMania main events to his name already. But that's not how it works. Jey is a bigger star. He got to rub shoulders every week for 3.5 years with the biggest star in the company, who happened to be his cousin. But that is what started him on his path to where he is now. He was a tag team guy. He was one half of a tag team. He was a twin. They talked about this in the build-up to the match with Jimmy at WrestleMania, right? Where he used to say, like, oh, people used to look at me and go, which one are you? You know? And he's been able to break out on his own in a major way in the last few years and become this big star. That's why he's in the spot he's in now. Tonga Loa Superfan. Exactly. Def Rebel does not respect the one and only Tonga Loa. I guess that's the reason WWE is not renewing the Def Rebel contract. All thanks to Tonga Loa. You know, that's never been confirmed. There are still people saying that. There hasn't been any confirmation that they're not renewing Def Rebel's contract. As far as anybody knows, Def Rebel is here to stay. And I think it sucks, but until we hear otherwise, I think that's the way it's going to be. And Daniel Malcolm, thank you for the 21 months of channel membership. 21 months and many more. Been a fan since way longer. TB Tracks. Appreciate you, Solo, and still hope to meet you one day. Well, hopefully we can make that happen. I'm not going to be in Vegas this weekend, unfortunately, but WrestleMania in New Orleans next year? I think we're going to make that happen. I think we're definitely going to. And if we do, obviously we'll have to have a big meetup in New Orleans next year. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. New Orleans is great. I enjoyed both WrestleManias there. I was a part of both of those. Those were very fun. We had meetups then too. So I'm already looking forward to hopefully making that happen. Already talking about plans. All right, we are currently sitting. We are 3 likes shy of 500. So we have smashed the goal. Right now, it doesn't look like we're doing a bonus round to be the booker. We're a little short on goal number 2, but we hit goal number 1. So why don't we get into it and be the booker, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Boy, Liv Morgan is very excited here in this photo. Ugh. Sabotaged by Bree Mode. Hydrograd 57 dropping a $25 super chat. When would you say the rowdy post-WrestleMania crowd died? Why do you think that is? I feel like they were never the same after COVID, but I don't know if that's the sole reason. Dude, I'm pretty sure the post-WrestleMania, those great post-WrestleMania Raws died before COVID. And you want to blame anybody? Blame Vince. Raw after WrestleMania, the last while, I would say, has just been, it just has felt like another Raw. I would love for it to get back to the way it used to feel, like 12, 13 years ago. But I feel like that was something that had already kind of died down even before COVID, you know, when Vince was still in charge. I was a part of a lot of those post-WrestleMania Raw. Dude, I was part of what may have been the best post-WrestleMania Raw after a very bad WrestleMania. which was WrestleMania 29. That was abysmal. Outside of CM Punk and The Undertaker, which was easily the best thing on the entire show, that WrestleMania fucking sucked. But the WrestleMania post-Raw, which had the Dolph Ziggler Money in the Bank, like, that was awesome. That was, and being a part of that crowd was just unlike any other experience I've ever had at a WWE show in terms of the crowd. I do miss those days. All right, tag team, be the booker. We have Big Cass and we have Enzo. I don't know, Cass apparently trying to clean his ear out, sticking his finger in his ear. Enzo and Cass, you know, to this day, I just don't understand how they never even had an NXT tag team title run, let alone a main roster tag team title run. Never did. Not even in NXT. They are going to be taking on Dennis Condrey and Beautiful Bobby, managed by Jim Cornette. Beautiful Bobby and Dennis Condrey were a great team. Enzo would have some fun with this. You'd have Cornette and Enzo cutting promos on each other. With the Midnights. That would be fun. All right, women's be the booker. Not bad, right? Not bad, not bad. Ah, Julia from Stardom, from her Stardom days. We have the lovely Julia. Well, this is going to be an easy bell, is it not? I shouldn't speak too soon. Julia and Piper Niven. What was Piper Niven's name in the UK? Viper. That's what it was, right? She was Viper. Julia and Viper. All right, we're already up to the main event. We've done well so far. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going here. The American Nightmare. The reigning WWE champion is kicking us off here in the main event, where he belongs, with that belt over his shoulder, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, as he will be on Sunday at WrestleMania, is in the main event of Be the Booker tonight. How appropriate is that? Now we just got to land on John Cena. The Last Outlaw wants to be world champion again. What? Jeff Jarrett wants to be world champion again. I don't believe this. Cody Rhodes will defend the WWE Championship against Jeff Jarrett in the main event. I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know what to say to this. Yeah, this is, Kevin says, this isn't TNA. Oh. I was so stunned I forgot to hit the buzzer. You didn't really think that I was going to go for a bell with Jeff Jarrett in my main event in 2025, challenging for the championship. Is Tony Khan booking? Yeah, Tony Khan is booking tonight. Oh, I really thought we were headed for a clean sweep. Man. Well, we were this close. We were this close. We almost had it. Larry Jester says, why was Cena called a chicken. He crossed the roads.
Ugh.
And Ron, who are your picks for stand and deliver? I don't have the card in front of me. I think the women's four-way is Stephanie Vaquer, Jordan Grace, Julia, and Jada Parker, right? I'm just wondering who's getting called up. I think that's really what it comes down to. Who's Triple H want on the main roster coming out of WrestleMania? I think at least two of these women are gone. I do. I don't know. I don't think it's Julia and Stephanie. I think at least one of them are going to stay. So it's very strange to me how they took the title away from Julia, but she came right back. It's almost like, why even take the title off of her at Roadblock? Why not just do a title change at Stand and Deliver? Unless she's just going to win the title right back. Jada Parker is not winning. Jada Parker is not a bad promo at all. But Jada Parker is not winning. I think, man, it's tough. I'm going to stick with Stephanie. I think Stephanie retains, but it all comes down to who's getting called up. If Stephanie's being called up, then she'll drop it. But I don't know who they have in mind for it. I'll go with her though. And I don't have the card in front of me, so I can't pick the rest. Leopoldo with a $10 super chat. Larry, at least I'm consistent. There's something about those jokes. Leopoldo says, Naomi segments with creepish music, overall tone mentioning Bianca, give me stalkerish vibes and tell me that it is leaning towards some kind of psychotic break and turning hard on Bianca, eventually leading to a three-way. What do you think? I could see it. A three-way with Bianca, Naomi, and Jade? I could see it. Would one of them, one of the women, challenge Chelsea Green during an open challenge to win the U.S. title on SmackDown? I would certainly hope that they are going to treat the U.S. title better than they are now if you're going to call up a Julia or a Jordan Grace and put the U.S. title on them. That wouldn't be a bad way to debut them if you wanted to get a belt on them right away. Try to bring some prestige to it. But, you know, I was surprised that Jordan Grace went back to NXT. She was there so often during her time with TNA that it felt like she already had her run there. And it just felt redundant to send her back there. She's someone who I think could be called up after WrestleMania. I wouldn't expect her to be down there for too long. But I don't know if they're done with her yet, if they want her there for a few more months. She absolutely is ready to be on Raw or SmackDown. Absolutely. Should have been there already. But the start time, they moved the start time. When does Stand and Deliver start? Is it 12 Eastern or 1 p.m. Eastern? I think it's a 1 p.m. Eastern start, right? 10 a.m. local time? On Saturday, right? God, there's so much. There's just so much. There's so much wrestling. The fact that Chelsea Green does not have a WrestleMania match is criminal. I'm not surprised. We have a women's intercontinental champion. She's wrestling on the show, but the title is not being defended. So neither of the two brand new women's mid-card titles are being defended this weekend. Unless something gets added. They have a 3-hour pre-show on both nights, by the way. 3 hours. Saturday and Sunday for the pre-show. No matches announced. Tag team title match with the Street Profits and the Motor City Machine Guns is on SmackDown on Friday. The only thing I could think of is maybe we get no winner and they do an 8-man tag to get them on the show this weekend. And it's Street Profits and DIY force the team against the Machine Guns and Pretty Deadly. Maybe there are matches yet to be made that will be put on one of the pre-shows to at least get a match or two on there. I just think it's insane to have a 3-hour long pre-show and not a single match. But remember, we have one show left, so there are matches that can still be made. We don't know who Randy Orton is wrestling. I would assume we'll find out on Friday, unless they save it for, you know, a game time call the day of WrestleMania Sunday. But we are looking at 14 matches. With his match, whatever it is, we're looking at 14 matches right now for this weekend, which is fine. You know, 7-7. I think that's perfectly fine. Still think Chelsea Green will make an appearance in Mania and demand a match from one of the GMs. Well, she's got a thing going on with Zelina right now, so I don't really see a situation where she would demand a match. Somebody mentioned an open challenge. I mean, that'd be a cool way to debut somebody new that they call up from NXT, but she's got an active program going on right now with Zelina Vega. Hey, Warhawk Rambo, 3-hour pre-show with no matches. That is not Sparta. That is madness. Yes, it is. Devin from NJ, in honor of me turning 25 on Sunday, what was Solo doing at 25? Was he drinking in Papa Monster's basement trying to be a podcaster? At 25, Solo Monster was already podcasting. So, anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me on a Monday night. We had a good time tonight, even though the show tonight was pretty boring. But now the final Raw is over. We have one show left on this road to WrestleMania. That'll be SmackDown on Friday. John Cena will be there. I will be here to talk about it when the show is over. And that will be the kickoff to what is going to be a very busy weekend. Now, apparently, the Hall of Fame ceremony is starting at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. As the Hall of Fame is starting, I will be live on YouTube. So just be aware of that. For those of you wondering all the programming details about this weekend, that is when the Hall of Fame is taking place. Eminem with the $25 Brie mode activated. One Brie mode is not enough, so here's another one. Yes, Rhea's WrestleMania championship match does go to 6 years in a row. Surprised they did not explore the Liv Rip team for their battle. Oba versus Trick versus Evans at Stand and Deliver. Who you got? I haven't been following all of NXT the last few weeks, but they haven't revealed, right, a leader yet for this Dark State faction. I think it's going to be either Trick or Evans revealed as the leader. If that's the case, then I think they win the title. If there's no reveal and it's just a straight up match, then is Oba going to get called up? That's the only thing. Is Oba going to get called up? Because I want to say Oba. I think Oba retains, but he could be called up. You always have that question, especially this time of year, coming out of WrestleMania. If they do a draft soon, which I feel like they're going to, we'll get NXT call-ups then. So, no pun intended, it's a little tricky here, picking a winner for this match. But, if they reveal a leader behind the Dark State faction, I feel like it's going to be Trick Williams. So, I'll say that if we get the reveal, Trick wins. If there's no reveal, Oba retains. That's my prediction. 10 p.m. West Coast. Yes, 10 p.m. West Coast start time for the Hall of Fame, 1 a.m. my time. All right, I'll be live with JD on his channel tomorrow night for Tuesday Night Titans. I'm sure we'll be talking WrestleMania and our respective WrestleMania predictions. Back here live on the channel for Dynamite on Wednesday night We actually had more. We had more fun, I feel like, hanging out on the stream last Wednesday than probably watching Dynamite and SmackDown on Friday night. And that leads into a huge weekend. WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. There'll be a podcast in between. Still doing a podcast this weekend. And it's going to be a very, very busy time. But hopefully you guys will join me. I'm leaving. You guys go check this out. WrestleMania 41 Prediction Special. It is up on the channel right now. Does John Cena win number 17 and set the record this weekend? Chime in and let me know. And I will see you guys back here live on the channel for the Dynamite post show on Wednesday night. Until then, take care, guys.